Joshua chapter 7, we'll look at it in just a moment. The sermon tonight is titled, Lord God, Why? Lord God, Why? You look at this man Joshua, he was born as a slave in the land of Egypt. He was chosen and selected by Moses to scout out the land of Canaan. If you remember, as they arrived at the promised land, Joshua led a group of men to scout out the land of Canaan. If you remember the story, only he and Caleb came back with a positive report. The rest of the spies had a very negative report about the danger and the giants and the fortified cities. But he and Caleb came back, despite all the negative reports of the giants. Listen to what he had to say. He said to Moses and the people, he said, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us that he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. I like that expression. They're our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What a great word of faith from Joshua. Well, all the spies, as you know, focused on the problem. The spies focused on the problem of what they saw. The problem of fortified cities, of giants, and the things that they thought they could never overcome. They became certain, because they focused on the problem, they became certain that it was going to be a losing battle, that they had no chance. Remember, the other spies said that there's no way we can do this. Because they were so focused on the problem, they were already defeated before they even began to try. But Joshua and his buddy Caleb, at this point, they had this one single truth that Joshua had declared that we just read, and it was this truth and this promise, because he said it, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. I want to remind all of us tonight, the Lord is with us. He's with you and me. Well, when Joshua gave the message, it was such an unpopular message that the congregation, all the folks of Israel, they wanted to stone Joshua and his friend Caleb. They wanted to get rid of that message. They didn't like that message. Joshua, think about it. Here he is giving a message of hope, a positive message, and the folks want to kill him. And you think about it, it's really not too different today. We share the good news of Christ. We preach the gospel message of salvation. We give a message of hope. We give a message of eternal life that can only come through our Savior Jesus. Because we say the only way and the only hope is through Jesus, then we're branded as narrow-minded people of hate. They hate hearing us say the words of truth. The Bible tells us about this man Joshua, though, that he focused on God's promise. He focused on God's promises and God's power because he'd been commissioned by God. In an earlier chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua 1 and 5, the Word of God says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Those are the words of God to Joshua. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Please hear me tonight. The Lord is speaking to our hearts. He's saying, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I'm with you. Hold on to that word. Hold on to that promise. That's God's word to us tonight. You think about it. In God's presence and promises, His presence and promises in these stories we see in the Bible as with Joshua, we see incredible and wonderful victories. Joshua led the children of Israel over the Jordan River. He gave them the miracle of the water standing still as a heap, and they crossed over the Jordan as on dry land. What a miracle that was. Then later, as they took the city of Jericho, another great miracle. They didn't have to use their swords or anything. They just shouted and marched and smashed their lights, and the host walls came tumbling down. And it was God's victory. It was God's hand. God was in every bit of it. Well, you know, after that great victory, I think Joshua as a lot of people do. It's just our human nature. And a lot of his leaders, I'm sure the people of Israel, they thought, wow, this is so good. This is so wonderful. This is so great. I mean, it was so easy. This was just great. And so the next thing they did, they knew they had to go up against a group of folks in a city or community known as Ai. And the Bible tells us that after the great victory of Jericho, there was a man named Achan. And Achan had taken some of the spoils of the battle. He had taken some gold and silver and vessels of bronze, and he had hid them in his tent. Rather than following the instructions that God had given, that all the spoils were to be taken into the treasury of the Lord. Well, at this point, of course, Joshua wasn't aware of it. And Joshua made a terrible mistake. He sent 2,000 or 3,000 men. He thought this would be an easy battle. He sent only 2,000 or 3,000 men to defeat the enemy at Ai. He didn't pray before the battle. He didn't inquire of God before the battle. He didn't get on his knees and say, God, help me, help us, give us victory. You've given us victory before. Guide us, lead us, and show us the way. I think he was just so full of confidence because of the easy victory over Jericho that he just was in kind of this automatic mode, so to speak. Well, now let's go get these guys. It's not going to be much. We'll get these. This will be easy. But the Bible tells us that when the Israeli warriors begin to attack the little community of Ai, that the Israeli warriors fled as the warriors of Ai took the battle to them. And it says they were running away from them in fear. The Bible tells us the hearts of the people melted and became like water. And they were defeated by this little ragtag group out of this community called Ai. Now, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to read our scripture text, Joshua chapter 7, begin with verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel. So he and all the elders and leaders of Israel, all of them, what are they doing? They're falling down on their face in the dirt. They're tearing their clothes. They're throwing dirt up on them. All of those were expressions of grief and sadness and grieving and sorrow. Put dust on their heads. I'd never seen anybody do that. Fall down on the ground, tear your clothes, and put dust on your heads. Now, I played in the dirt a lot as a kid, but that wasn't like that, you know. And the Bible says, and Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why? Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? He said, God, why did you even bring us over this river? Why did you do this to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Excuse me. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns his back on his enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us, cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? This man of great faith, Joshua, this man had seen wonderful miracles of crossing over the Jordan on dry land and fabulous victories over the city of Jericho. Suddenly, because of this one problem, this one defeat, suddenly he's focused completely on the problem in front of him instead of the promises of God. Have you done that before? Maybe we're doing some of us doing that tonight right now. Focusing on the problem instead of the promises of God. I think the reality is that all of us are guilty of that at times and seasons in our lives. Things are going great. We're full of faith. And all of a sudden, there's a season of trouble and trials and challenges, and they come into our life. And just like Joshua, we become problem conscious, questioning everything, even God, as Joshua cried out, Lord God, why? Why, Lord? There's three important points I want to share with you tonight in this sermon that the Bible teaches us. And the first one is this: Joshua must stop questioning God's character. In verse 7, when we read where Joshua is questioning God, we read it, the words, Lord God, why have you brought us over? Why have you led us over the Jordan to deliver us from the hands of our enemy to destroy us? Think about it for just a minute. Something goes wrong. What's he doing? He's blaming God, isn't he? There's a problem, and he immediately blames God. Despite all the miracles, despite all the help from God up to this point, despite all the promises that God had given him, one problem, one defeat, one disaster, and he wants to blame God for it. Have you ever been in that season in your life where you were tempted just to ask God, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Lord, why am I going through this? Why is this pain? Why is this uncertainty in my life? God, why have you brought me into this mess? Why are you allowing this situation to just continue in my life? When we do that, we're really reacting just as Joshua did, because we're forgetting everything that God has done for us. We're forgetting all the blessings. We're forgetting all the miracles and the times He's answered prayer and He was there for us. We're forgetting how much He loves us. We're forgetting that He gave His life, Jesus did, for us on the cross to give forgiveness. We're forgetting all the hope and the promises and the times that He's been there for us and the future promise of our home in heaven. When we're like Joshua, then really what we're doing is the same thing Joshua did, and that's becoming very problem conscious, when our only focus should be not on the problem, but on the promises. We start focusing on the problem, and that's all we see, and when we do that, we forget the past blessings. When all we're doing is thinking about the problem, we do just like Joshua, and we say, Lord God, why? Oh, why? Listen to these words in the Bible from Joshua 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Do you hear that? Go and call on me and pray to me. He says, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What a great word that is. Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? The author of that book of Moses and the book of Numbers is saying, if God has said it, can't you believe it? If God has said it, isn't He telling you the truth? He's not like man. He's not going to mislead you. He's not going to lie. Then in Lamentations, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great. Oh, great is your faithfulness. Let me tell you tonight, whatever the season of life you're in, remember this: great is God's faithfulness to you and to me. Sometimes we all have those moments, but yet I ask this question: how dare we question God? How dare we question God even in times of trouble, when He tells us in His Word that He has plans for us, a wonderful plans for us. So we shouldn't be questioning God's character when we're in a mess. The second thing is that Joshua must stop focusing on this one defeat, this one problem. Joshua had what I call become problem conscious. You've been around folks like that, haven't you? How you doing? You know their answer is going to be negative. Things going good? Nah, never good. They're problem conscious. That's all they know. That's all they focus on. That's all their mind deals with is the problem. They're problem conscious instead of being promise conscious. You think the story of Joshua says he threw himself down on the ground, tore his clothes, put dirt on his head, began to moan and complain. God looks down on him and says, get up. You know, get up. I mean, I'm sure Joshua heard a voice. I don't know if you heard an audible voice. God had told him in Joshua 1 and 9, God had said, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God had told Joshua that. He's telling you and me that tonight. He's with us. But in the midst of the problem, Joshua lost sight of this great promise, didn't he? He forgot about it. In our individual lives, one problem, one defeat can suddenly paralyze us and rob us of the joy God wants us to have. And before you know it, we kind of begin to slide down a little bit. All we can do is just look at this problem. We're constantly focusing on it. We're constantly thinking about it. And if you're not careful, before too long, we become bitter, or we become depressed, or become both bitter and depressed. And the problem itself, it begins to color and influence our witness for Christ. It begins to color and influence our witness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And before you know it, it can begin to change your perspective on life and everything around you, because you're focused on the problem. I love the reminder in the book of Philippians. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we just got to say, yesterday was yesterday, and that's over. I'm looking at today, and God's with me today. His hand is with me today. Victory is mine today because Christ is with me, no matter what the situation may be. We must remember God's promises for our comfort, God's promises for His strength to be in us, God's promises that He'll be our guide, that He'll answer prayer, that He'll bring victory. He promises His eternal life, forgiveness and grace and peace and deliverance. He promises that He's coming back for us and He's going to take us home with Him to heaven. Oh God, help us to turn our minds away from the problem to the promises. And if we do, then we become promise conscious and not problem conscious, as Joshua had become in this example. The third thing we need to do is Joshua must stop worrying about what other people think. Ooh, have anybody ever been there? Worrying about what somebody else is thinking. In our scripture text, Joshua is reportedly says here in verse 8 and 9, "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back on its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off your name." Cut off your name, God, from the earth. "Then what will you do, God, for your great name?" God, what about your reputation? I'm worried about your reputation, Lord. I think the fact is Joshua was worried about his reputation. I think Joshua was really worried about what people will say about him. He's the leader. They went up against this small little situation at Ai and they got defeated. And it's embarrassing. People ran in fear and they became cowards. I got news for Joshua and for all of us. I think Joshua knows this now. God can take care of his own reputation. He didn't need us worrying about his reputation. Like I said, I think Joshua's concerned about his own reputation. And you know, the truth is, all of us in this room have moments and at times where we're guilty of the same thing. We're worrying about what folks are going to say. We're worrying about what they're going to think. Well, we're going through a hard and dark and troubling trial and situation. All I can say is, God, help us not to give so much power to others by worrying about what they may think or what they may believe or what they may say. Because when we're worrying about that, what we're really doing is giving power to them over us. Aren't we? What a sad thing that is. The only one that matters is God, isn't it? The only one that we should concern about what He thinks is God and how He feels. But folks get consumed with making the right impression. Oh, having the right look, having everybody think the right things about you. Do you, anybody remember the show on TV, the Leave It to Beaver show? Leave It to Beaver, his dad was a fellow named Ward Cleaver. Ward Cleaver had a job. I'm not sure exactly what his job was. It was like an office job of some kind. And there was a fellow that worked with Ward Cleaver who had a son. His son's name was a good friend of Wally's. His son was named Lumpy. Y'all remember the character Lumpy? Well, Lumpy's dad was a guy named Fred Rutherford. Lumpy Rutherford, and his dad was Fred Rutherford. Fred Rutherford was a co-worker at the same company with Ward Cleaver. And in the story, there's countless episodes and instances of poor old Fred Rutherford. All he could think about was impressing the bosses, making the big guys think good things about you, doing just the right thing so the big guys would say something nice about you, come up and talk to you and recognize you. Fred Rutherford was a classic example in that story of somebody just being consumed with what somebody else thought or said about him. What a sad way to live your life. Only God matters. Isn't that right? So in conclusion, as you look at this scripture and these examples in God's Word tonight, in the midst of whatever season you're going through, of trials or darkness or trouble, whatever it may be, in the midst of that, don't question God's character. He is true to Himself. He's true to the Word, and His promises are for you. Don't focus on the problem. Get your eyes off of that for just a minute and focus on the promises. Focus on who God is and who you are in Christ Jesus. And don't worry about what other folks may be thinking or believing or saying. You know, when God looked down, He saw Joshua laying down in the dirt in his face, tearing his clothes and putting dust all over himself. And He said, "Get up." I think it doesn't say in the Bible, but don't you think the Lord might have been thinking something like, "Get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit being so problem conscious." And God lets Joshua know, by the way, that there was a problem. There was a problem in the camp. There was a problem of disobedience and deceit. We talked about it earlier because Achan had taken the spoils of the battle and hid them in his tent. And the fact is that God had said that all the spoils of the battle belonged in the treasury of the Lord for the temple, for the blessings of God, for the priest. In this example, Joshua didn't know about it because he never stopped to pray before he went into battle, did he? Joshua had no idea there was a problem in the camp because he was on autopilot. This is great. We got this. I'm going. Get forward, God. If he had stopped and prayed, if he'd allowed God's Spirit to speak to his heart, I think God would have showed him, you can't go into battle yet because you got a problem in the camp. It's the lesson that they only had victory and favor and blessings from God when they lived in obedience. Oh, did y'all hear that tonight? They only had victory and favor and blessings from God when they lived in obedience, not disobedience. Sometimes we take the things that belong to the Lord and we don't bring it to the treasury of God. It's called the tithe. God's word is very clear. The tithe belongs to the Lord. He owns everything. And He asks us to honor Him and recognize Him as our source by bringing our tithes into the treasury. And when we are living in obedience to the word of God, then we know we receive the favor and blessings and hand of God with us. When we live in disobedience, how can we expect the favor and blessings of God if we can't obey the very simple thing that He says, Like in this case, the spoils belong to the treasury. And in our case today, the Lord says the tithe belong to the Lord. What does he say in Malachi? Will a man rob God? When we try to make decisions, I don't care how big or small it is, or I have found this out the hard way in my life. When we try to make decisions without prayer and waiting on God's direction, we get into trouble because we're relying on our own ideals, our own understanding, and our own fleshly insights rather than waiting on God and His Holy Spirit. Can you look back at a time in your life where you made a big decision? And you know, this is just a no-brainer. I don't really need to pray about it because look, this has got to be, God's got to be in this. Look at this. This is going to be so good. And you make that decision and you look back, suddenly it hits you as you're into that situation or that decision. And it hits you and you go, oh God, why did I do this? Why didn't I wait and seek your face? Why didn't I wait and ask you and seek you with all my heart? Why did I just think I had the answers without you? Has anybody ever been there? Oh, I tell you, I have a couple of times. That can be painful, folks. That can be very painful. Joshua, this man Joshua, he was guilty of this. He was guilty because he didn't stop and seek God before he went into battle to consult with God. Well, Joshua did listen to the Lord after it was a disaster, after God got his attention, and after he said, get up, get off your face. There's a problem in the camp. And he followed God's guidance. And when he followed God's guidance, it led him to victory. But he only had God's guidance and victory and God's favor only after the sin of disobedience was dealt with. If you remember, the Bible tells us that once Achan was confronted and they found the things in his tent, the spoils of war that should have gone in the treasury, that he and his entire family were stoned, and that wasn't enough. After they stoned them, they burned them. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? God's judgment of those that rebelled and disobeyed him is an example of what took place. As Scripture, 1 Corinthians, but thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory in this life is through Jesus. It is not through our own means. It is not through our own abilities. It is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way for us to have victory. Who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Oh, it's not in vain when Jesus is with us. Amen? It's not in vain. This verse there in Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58. It's a verse, it's a great reminder of the promise of victory for us today. Are you problem conscious? Are you crying out? Are you saying, Lord God, why? Or are you promise conscious? Are you focusing on the promises of God? Are you declaring thanks be to God who gives us victory? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to us, showing us, teaching us, guiding us, giving us your perspective and understanding, helping us to reach out, to call upon you with all of our hearts, to look to you to guide and direct and to help us, to understand that you are our source. Oh God, help us, forgive us. We fall into having pity parties and blaming things and feeling sorry for ourselves. God, forgive us when we go and make decisions without asking you or calling upon you. God, forgive us when we think we can do it without you. Help us to humble ourselves before you tonight and to know as we do in obedience that we know you are with us, your strength and your hand and your favor are upon us, and victory is ours through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that hope and that promise tonight. Just instill that in us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Before we go to the Lord in prayer and before we look